The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
Good morning, everyone. So what is this? Listen carefully. Is this a sign of a mass movement in America finally confronting the powers that be?
I actually quit my job and got a one-way ticket out here for the protests. Yeah, I just felt like it was really, in a lot of ways, this was the last hope for some sort of real change.
It's a young man from Oakland, California. He's a protester on Wall Street. His name is Casey O'Neill. About 80 people you may have heard, you may not have heard, were arrested over the weekend right here in New York City for protesting in and around Wall Street. The protesters are calling themselves the 99%. They're speaking out against the top 1% of America, who gets the income disparity in America that relates to the 99% versus the 1%. Broadly, though, they're demanding economic and political change. And our friend and reporter for our co-producer, WNYC Radio, Arun Venugopal, spoke with Casey O'Neill and was among the protesters over the weekend. Arun, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, John.
It seems to me the headline here is there's a protest on Wall Street and you may not have heard of it. That possibly tells you all we need to know about the scale of these protests, even though there is this palpable anger in America about what's going on in the financial community.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was there for the second day of the protests about a week ago, and that's at that point, you could ask yourself, was this going to happen tomorrow? Is it going to happen the day after that? Even the protesters themselves did not know. I went again yesterday for the second time, and the protests are noticeably larger. There's still an enthusiasm and excitement, sort of an innocence to it. They really are sort of mobilized by what they see as this participatory process, being involved in something. They still haven't really crystallized exactly what they're looking for, but there's definitely an anger, a sense of frustration among the people there.
And actually, demoralization, I would add to. Tell me a little bit about this person. First of all, let's listen.
I'm talking about people who have master's degrees in a lot of cases, who have to work $8 an hour jobs because there are just no jobs. My generation, I'm 23, my generation is just really like the lost generation.
Now, who is that you spoke with?
Her name is Elena Spence. I met her yesterday at the protest. She's a 23-year-old military widow. Her husband died. He was an Air Force pilot. He died in Italy while on active duty. She has a 3-year-old kid back in Buffalo, New York. She came down for this. She herself makes $8 an hour. So she sees herself as this lost generation, which is basically struggling to get by, has no real hopes or prospects. Very articulate person. But her peer group sort of fits into this category of not having any sense that they're going forward, this American dream, sort of a lost sense of that.
Demoralization, anger, but action that would actually shut something down, create a confrontation that, say, might mirror what we're seeing over in Greece. No sign of that.
There is a real sense that they want to be civil here, law-abiding. They respect the police who are there, even though the police are sometimes arresting them. They feel like they're all in it together. They don't want to be like the Seattle protesters who disrupted things at the global anti-globalization protest a few years back. So they're really trying to be, gain the support of the public here.
Arun Venugopal, reporter for our co-producer WNYC Radio. Joining us is Professor Michael Kazin, professor of history at Georgetown University, author of American Dreamers, How the Left Changed a Nation. Professor, what do you make of the sensibility and the at least on some levels, the lack of explicit anger over what's going on in the U.S. economy?
Well, John, I think for the last 30 years or so, conservatives have sort of dominated the dialogue about what's wrong with the economy. And, of course, more recently, the Tea Party has gotten a lot of attention, understandably so, by blaming government, big government, for our problems. And people on the left, like the demonstrators, have not been focusing really on the economic issues. They've been focusing on other things, and quite successfully in many ways, gay marriage and opposing the war in Iraq, the environment to a degree. But there really hasn't been a articulate message coming, I think, from the kind of people who are now demonstrating in New York. And that's, I think, part of the problem. This is sort of starting from, not quite from scratch, but the inchoate nature of it, as your reporter mentioned, is not surprising.
Do you think that part of it has to do with the fact that the economy is affecting people so broadly that maybe the left-right categories don't apply in the way they did, say, a generation ago, Professor?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think there's still a sense that people on the left would like to preserve unions and make them stronger. People on the left would like to have, richer people tax more, at least equal with the middle class. And in general, would like national health insurance. I mean, there's a sort of left agenda, I think, which is not so different from here and in Europe, really, which is quite different from the conservative agenda for the economy. I mean, just listen to the Republican candidates talk about what they think needs to be done to create jobs. It's doing away with regulations, weakening unions, and so forth. So I think there's quite a difference there.
Do you think workers have a voice in America to express these kinds of passions?
Well, historically, the way they've done that is through a labor movement, of course, unions primarily. And as you know, unions have gotten weaker, especially in the private sector. In the public sector, they're quite in battle as well. So, again, the media, talks about unions as if they're on the defensive, and it's very difficult for union officials, people like Rich Trumka, head of the AFL-CIO, to get their arguments about the economy through. There's really not a sense of a leadership, I think, on these issues. And it's one of the reasons why the young people, mostly young people down on Wall Street now, are sort of acting on their own without, being part of a large institution.
Right. Professor Michael Kazin is professor of history at Georgetown University, author of American Dreamers, How the Left Changed a Nation. Arun Venugopal, before we go, reporter for our co-producer WNYC Radio, do people down on Wall Street self-identify as being left or right or independent or just angry? How do they characterize
they
themselves?
Actually, at this point, I have not heard them using those terms that much. I think they're trying to create sort of a new thing, something that sort of defies those traditional categories, although many of their concerns are more or less from the left.
Would you say that this is a group of people that is seeking connection with a broader movement or trying to start a broader movement?
I think they're trying to start something wholly from new cloth, yeah.
Arun Venugopal, reporter for our co-producer, WNYC Radio, reporting on the series of protests taking place on Wall Street, 80 arrests over the weekend here in New York City. Give us a call. What would your own protest sign say? Do you think protests can truly make a difference? Is there a better tactic we should be employing? And how do you characterize the power of the left versus the power of the right if both are equally angry at what's going on in the economy? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thetakeaway. Thanks so much.